Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. The shooting of a reporter and her cameraman on live television near Roanoke, Virginia yesterday morning has brought to the forefront yet again the scourge of gun violence. 24-year-old Allison Parker, 27-year-old Adam Ward were in the middle of an interview outdoors at a water park being broadcast live when shots were heard followed by screams. The alleged perpetrator was a former employee of the television station named Vester Flanagan, who went by the screen name of Bryce Williams. Flanagan filmed himself shooting the two people and posted the video to social media. He also sent a fax to the television station claiming to have been provoked by the Charleston church shooting and expressing admiration for the 1999 shooters of Columbine High School and the 2007 mass shooter at Virginia Tech. Flanagan was eventually found by police and killed himself. Mass shootings in the U.S. are increasingly common, and while public support for gun control remains strong, the NRA continues to claim that guns don't kill people, people kill people. Now, a new study about mass shootings in the U.S. offers what its author calls empirical evidence that a nation's civilian firearm ownership rate is the strongest predictor of its number of public mass shooters. In other words, it is the guns. My guest is Adam Lankford. He is the researcher. He's a professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at the University of Alabama and the author of the study on mass shootings. Welcome to Uprising, Adam.
Hi, nice to speak with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, let's first talk about how you conducted your research. What data did you use? What did you leave out in examining mass shootings in the U.S., this ugly phenomenon?
Sure. Well, the goal was relatively simple, and it was to find essentially evidence of all attackers, public mass shooters from 1966 to 2012 around the world, and to build that database, I used the FBI active shooter report, the NYPD active shooter report, and a variety of international sources. I was specifically focused on offenders who killed a minimum of four victims, so that helped ensure that I was studying offenders who I could find because there was clear records of them doing these horrible things.
And so yesterday's shooting wouldn't have qualified. There were two victims. A third was recovering in the hospital. However, the alleged perpetrator who killed himself did claim to be inspired by three, at least, mass shootings, one of which he said sort of provoked him to do what he did, the other two of which he said he sort of expressed an admiration for.
Right. So, you know, when you're doing a scientific study, you have to have strict lines about what counts and what doesn't. But the reality, of course, is that human behavior is more complex than that. You know, I think certainly behaviorally, this guy is very similar to the offenders I studied.
And I want to get to that because you do sort of look at what drives mass shooters as well. Let's talk about how you came to the conclusion that the U.S. Compares well with other countries where there are lots of guns available. You looked at data from other gun-rich countries. Can you explain the sort of international context?
Sure. So basically, for 171 countries, I could find the firearm ownership rate. And I also looked at a host of other variables, homicide rate, suicide rate, GDP per capita, how urbanized different nations were. And basically running the statistical tests, you know, the tests themselves tell you what's significant. There's no subjectivity there. So the test showed that firearm ownership rate in countries, most kind of clearly the United States, which leads the world in firearm ownership rate, but also in countries like Switzerland, Finland, Yemen, Serbia, explain the high number of public mass shooters in those nations.
And actually, when you say the U.S. leads the world in ownership rate, do you mean that per capita we have more guns than another country, than any other country in the world, or just overall absolute number of guns?
Unfortunately, the answer is both. So we have more than 200 million actual firearms than the second highest country, and our rate is almost double the second highest country. So either way you slice it, we're number one when it comes to firearms, unfortunately.
More than Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, more than, you know, countries where there's more than the Ukraine?
Right. So these are civilian firearms. Wow. And yeah, we have more than 270 million in this country. The second highest country was actually India with 46 million. So you think India's population is much bigger than the United States, and yet the discrepancy in number of civilian firearms is tremendous.
So how did the U.S. compare in terms of the actual mass shootings? I understand that one of the things you found that was that mass shooters in the U.S. are likely to use more weapons when they go out and commit these horrific murders.
Right. So, you know, one of the things I did was model why some countries have more attackers than others. And another thing is look at the criminal behavior of these attackers. And as you suggested, one of the things I found was attackers in the United States are more likely to use multiple weapons. And all around the world, there's a correlation for these public mass shooters between using more weapons and killing more victims. Yeah, you know, it's a problematic scenario, and the attacker yesterday apparently only had one firearm. That may be one reason why his fatality count was a little bit lower.
What is there a reason why American mass shooters use multiple weapons? Is it just that there's so many guns that they're just doubling up?
I think so, and keep in mind that, you know, these are premeditated attacks.
Yeah.
You know, so often they're planning them for weeks or months, you know, sometimes even longer, and there's a sense of, particularly because there's a suicidal element for a lot of these offenders as well, that, you know, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory, that's the perception, and take as many people with me as possible.
One of the other differences you found that sort of surprised me was that the average number of victims killed by each shooter was actually higher in other countries than in the U.S. So that means the mass shooters in other countries that are fewer arms floating around per attack are killing more people than those in the U.S.?
Right. And so that might sound contradictory. Mm-hmm. It's actually not. In other words, everywhere you use multiple weapons, you kill more victims. But that surplus, that extra number of victims killed was even higher in other countries. And I think what's going on there is a difference in law enforcement response. So we learned from incidents like Columbine. At Columbine, it took 3 hours for that scene to be resolved. And in the meantime, people were dying. So we've learned that these situations are active shooter scenarios. These shooters need to be made no longer active as quickly as possible, because we've had so many attacks, and elsewhere in the world, they haven't necessarily learned that lesson.
Well, I'm wondering, just following from that, if the prevalence of so many weapons in the United States gives American police the excuse to arm themselves to the teeth and draw their guns whenever, even when people are unarmed. I mean, all they have to say is, I thought he was reaching for his gun, and we have so many guns that excuse can hold water for juries.
Right. It's a tricky thing because you have some cops who are naturally trying to do the right thing, but may have legitimate fears because there's so many firearms in this country. But of course, that could also be used as an excuse. And it's hard for juries to disentangle, you know, the well-meaning police officers from those who might have more questionable motives or more questionable instincts.
Now, let's talk about the fact that you say this. You basically say that your study found empirical evidence that the more guns a country has, the more shootings there will be. Explain that to our lay audience. When you say there's empirical evidence, what does that mean?
Well, it essentially means it's not subjective, you know. So, you know,
It sounds obvious to me. It's like saying if there's more ice cream in my house, I'm going to eat more ice cream, you know. But if I just don't have it in the house, I won't get to eat it. So it sounds like an obvious thing. But of course, the NRA doesn't think it's obvious. So you're trying to prove it.
Right. Well, the empirical part, though, is if the NRA sat down on my computer and ran the test, you know, they pressed the button, they're going to come up with the same result. So based on the history of 1966 to 2012. Now, the future can always change, but it would be unprecedented for in the future us to have a lot of firearms and for this problem to suddenly disappear.
So many people cite the example of Australia and how reducing the number of guns dramatically reduces mass shootings, which, you know, if it's true that having lots of guns increases the likelihood of mass shootings, then the opposite should be true. What lessons are there to be learned from Australia?
Well, Australia reacted very proactively, or actually, I guess it's reactively, to a terrible mass shooting that killed 35 people there. And after that, they passed major gun control restrictions. They had a buyback program that reduced the number of guns in that country by 20%. And in the wake of those policies, they haven't had another public mass shooting since. So, I mean, I'm not sure we'd have that kind of immediate success in this country, but it's clear evidence that there's a reduction in firearms and a reduction in the number of attacks.
Turning back to the incident yesterday, Vester Flanagan, the alleged shooter, in his suicide note expressed how upset he was at his treatment by his colleagues. He worked at the same television station 2 years ago. He said his colleagues were biased against him for being black and gay. And I want to quote what you said earlier this week before yesterday's horrific live television shooting that now seems so eerily relevant. Your statements are so relevant. You said about this study before the shooting, in the United States, where many individuals are socialized to assume that they will reach great levels of success and achieve, quote, the American dream, there may be particularly high levels of strain among those who encounter blocked goals or have negative social interactions with their peers, coworkers, or bosses. That seems to be right on the mark. So basically, the combination of a lot of guns with what you call delusions of grandeur makes an explosive combination, literally.
Right. And when you add in the mental illness element, you often have these distorted perceptions where, you know, rather than handling adversity in kind of a humble or healthy way, these attackers usually are looking for someone to blame. And they have these distorted ideas that, you know, everyone's out to get me, everyone's mistreating me. The attackers actually claim that they're victims themselves, and that's how they justify their violence. I'm a victim and I'm just striking back. But of course, that's not really what's going on.
But the NRA likes the idea, as does Donald Trump, who just this morning, likes to fixate on, well, it's mental illness. We need to deal with mental illness and not guns. And they're trying to separate the two.
Right. Well, you know, I guess the fact is these public mass shooters are both mentally ill, in the vast majority of cases, and they have guns, you know. But I guess what I would say is, you know, what my study shows is there isn't a country in the world that has a tremendous number of guns and doesn't have this problem. So you know, if the NRA thinks that that's, you know, some sort of magic solution, again, that would be unprecedented around the world.
I'm sure Australia has mentally ill people, but
right, and in fact. In fact, just to add to that, one of the other things I tested was suicide rates. And there is no correlation globally between countries that have high levels of suicide having some sort of high levels of public mass shooters.
Interesting. Well, Adam, where can people find your study? I understand you're going to be presenting it. Has it been published yet?
I presented it this week already at the American Sociological Association's conference. It will be forthcoming in academic journals. And I guess I just say, you know, stay posted for that.
Your website, would you like to give out that?
Sure. People can keep track. My website is Adam Lankford, LANKFORD.com.
Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
My guest is Adam Lankford. He's a professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at the University of Alabama. He's the author of a new study on mass shootings. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after this break.